Aren't you happy this morning to know the one that does not change? What a wonderful privilege we have, because it is a truth that our world is changing. Things around us, people are changing. The code of morality in our society is changing. We live in a society that even today, the big question of the day that people are actually making a question of is what gender you are. They're turning everything into a question as if it's not the answer's not biological. In other words, like if it's a decision. But do you know this morning there is something that is fixed? There is a constant. There is someone that is unchanging that we can put our hope in this morning, and that's Jesus Christ. And it is that constant in life that enables us to face the storms and the trials and the battles of life and make it through, not just all beaten up, but we can make it through the storms of life with our head in the air because there's been something that's been unmovable in our life, and that's Jesus Christ. I can testify personally, and I know that you all can as well, and I've heard some of your testimonies, but it is Christ that has gotten us through the tough times. I would not be here this morning if it had not been for that unchanging God. So thank the Lord for that unchanging God. If I had ordered the song this morning, which I didn't, I couldn't have picked a better one. Thank the Lord for a God that is unchanging. Oh, a little over a week ago in Nairobi, Kenya, some of you may have read of this in the news, but there was a 6-story building that collapsed. And incidentally, it was in Huruma Estates. In Kenya, there in Nairobi, there's a big area where they put up a lot of housing that they built very, very quickly. They didn't take a lot of time in the building. And it was my understanding that this particular apartment complex, 6 stories high, that they built the whole thing in 6 months. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was only a 2-year-old building. There were over 46 people that died when that building collapsed. There were people that were stranded in this building and for, I believe, 6 days. Didn't know if they live or die, but they were in the collapse. Over 150 people now homeless, without a place to go. Do you know that that building collapsed for a reason? It wasn't happenstance. It was not built according to code. They built this building on ground that was wet. It was close to a river. Buildings should have never been built there, but the government's complicit in this as well. But they wanted quick, cheap housing. So they went in and it was not according to code. The engineer said it should have never been built there. Not only was it built on wet ground, it wasn't solid. That was a problem. It wasn't solid ground. They went in with cheap cement. They didn't put in the proper amount of rebar. And so, in a very short amount of time, that building fell. You know, when they got that building finished, I'm sure you'd walk by and say, what a wonderful place for people to live. It's a lot better than the slums that they're trying to get people out of. That's why they go in and build this kind of housing. You're not living in the slums anymore, and you have a little apartment room. And I'm sure those people thought, what a wonderful place we have to live in. But today, many of them have gone out into eternity. There are at least 9 other buildings that the government's going to come in and tear down, I believe, this week. Same condition, because they went in there just quickly trying to get something up. We live in uncertain times. And there are people today that one time had a good place to live. Today they're homeless. And some of the people that moved into that have lost loved ones because they made a decision to move into that building. And I don't know what the builder's thinking or feeling today, but I would not want to be in his shoes. The builders are going to be charged with manslaughter because of this event. And the government saying it doesn't matter what the courts say, these buildings are being torn down. This morning there's a building that all of us are working on that is a lot more important than a house, an apartment complex. And Jesus spoke of it over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in the 24th verse, very familiar passage. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." In other words, it's not enough to have a knowledge of truth this morning. It's not enough to have been raised hearing the gospel. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon" what? A rock. Something that is unmovable. Something that is set. Something that is fixed. The one that hears the words of Christ and is obedient to him, Jesus said, "I'm going to liken that person unto a wise man." And the rain descended. There was not a question as if the rains would come. If the rains come, and if the flood comes, folks, in life, the rains are going to come. There is going to be heartache in your life. There are going to be things in your life that are come that are going to shake you up. And Jesus said, "And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded." You know what it means to be founded? It was set. It was fixed. It was founded on something solid and unchanging and unmovable. Folks, we heard in the song this morning, that which is unchangeable is Jesus Christ. And not only is it Jesus Christ, it is the truth that He came and taught us. There are many people today that are living life based on their own wishes and their own desires. They're following after their own pleasures. Folks, Jesus spoke about that as well. He said, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I wonder this morning how many people would have moved into that complex in Nairobi if they would have known. If they would have known, there's going to be a lot of people killed in this collapse. This morning, I am not here to make you feel good. The message the Lord gave me was not to make you feel like that you can keep living like you are and everything's going to be okay. But I want to remind you in the love of God this morning that if you know what God's will is for your life and you will obey it and you will live it, folks, you are building your house on something that will stand the test of time. And folks, if the winds and the rain of this life don't knock you over, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of God. And you may look on this life and say, "I'm living life to its fullest. I'm doing what I want. I'm living how I want to live." And all the saints that say, "Be careful, that's not wise," they don't know what they're talking about, because look at my life. Folks, it's not all said and done yet. There's going to come a day when you're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to judge you according to His words. According to the knowledge of truth that you have this morning, we're going to be judged on that. I want to build my life on something that's secure. I want to move into the apartment, if you will, that I know the builder put in a good foundation. I want to live my life and go into that house that I know they didn't, as many builders do. They lay the rebar in the foundation. The inspector comes and looks and says, "It's approved." Inspector leaves. The builder takes the rebar out and moves it to the next house to get inspected. That happens a lot right here in Missouri. How are we doing spiritually? There are a lot of things in our life that we can cover up this morning. We come to service, we put on our nice clothes, and we smile, and everything's good. But folks, the Lord knows what we're building on. He knows the principles that we are using to guide our life. He knows what our motivations are this morning. And all of the excuses and all the things that we can offer to people, the Lord sees right through it. And He knows what we're building on. It is a foolish thing this morning to build your life on anything other than Jesus Christ. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Young people, children, all of us, your labor is not in vain if you will build your life on that which is unmovable. If you will set your heart, set your affections, let the principles of truth be what guide you in your life. The society is vying for our affections. The world is working hard for people's standard of morality and their perspective to become, you do what you want and I do what I want and let's just all get along. Folks, that kind of foundation will only take people so far. There's going to come a time that it's going to collapse. If not in this life, then in the life to come. So the question is, what are you building your life on this morning? This is to all of us, wherever we are in our walk with God. What are the defining principles of our life? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord and I change not. I change not. You know, money in the bank comes and goes, doesn't it? Relationships, friendships come and go. Jobs, vehicles, houses, people, they come and go. How would your life be if it was totally founded on others around you? We're blessed to have good people in our lives. But you know what? I found that relationships change. I don't want to build my life. I don't want to find or rely on someone else for the peace that's in my soul. I need to base my life on something that doesn't change. On someone that is consistent, reliable, faithful, that you can count on when the storm comes, they're still there. Those are good friends, aren't they? Those are those, that, the ones that are still there. They don't turn your back on you, but they're still there. They're faithful. Folks, Jesus is the most faithful friend we will ever find. All of the things that offer this hope of pleasure and satisfaction in the world that are contrary to God's word. Yes, there is some pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. What's going to happen after the pleasure's over? Where will you be left? What is your life going to consist in when it's not fun anymore? I will tell you what's going to happen. Your house is going to crumble. And you're going to be left with problems in your family. You're going to be left with problems in your home, and problems in your health. You're going to be left desolate and broken. But if not in this life, when you stand before God, you will be empty-handed because you can't take the pleasures of the flesh with you to the judgment. And the only thing that we can take with us is the foundation upon which we built, if it was Christ. It ought to give us serious thought and consideration to every choice that we make this morning. Why are you making the choice that you are? Now I can only do that for myself. So why am I making the choices I am? What is it that motivates me to do this and not do that? Well, I want the people of God to think I'm doing pretty well spiritually. Do you know that's not a very good foundation upon which to base my decisions? Because you know what's happening more and more is you can even come to service right here this morning and I could bring up some topics. And some of you would say, yeah, that's fine. In other words, you say, oh, Brother Michael, that's not wise. So who am I trying to please then? Am I trying to please the hypocrites? Am I trying to please the sinner? Am I trying to please those that have a good experience with God? I want to please God Himself. He's the one that's going to judge me in the last days. So Lord, help me to obey Your word. Help me to let what drives me and shapes me and molds me, help it to be, because I want to be in conformity to Your will. I don't want to get to old age and find that my house is broken and crumbled because I built on a bad foundation, built on bad ground. To me, to set, by definition, it means to put in a proper or designated place. You see, when we set things, that's where it becomes unmovable. It's in its proper place. It means to place with deliberate purpose. Do you know that when we set something, it's not haphazard? Why are you living like you are? Is that a fair enough question? I will tell you, some people don't like to be asked questions from the pulpit. But I'm going to ask you this morning. And if you get offended, go talk to God about it. Why? Why are we living like we're living? What is it that's motivating you? What is it that's causing us to teach our children what we do? Why is it that we go where we go, and why is it we don't go where we don't go? Why? Why is that? Folks, it's not haphazard. I don't want to build my life just haphazardly. I want to build with knowledge. I want to build with understanding. I want to set my life on something that's unmovable, because the storms will come, and when they come, I don't want to be blown away. I don't want the storms of life to cause me to crash. Calculated. So have you made calculated decisions in your life? Or are you living just kind of haphazard, whatever the day brings? Or have you made some purposes in life? Do you know a life without purpose will not bring spirituality? It takes daily purpose. It takes a daily setting and fixing of our life, saying, Lord, today I'm going to please you by your help. Lord, today I want to live as you want me to live. The choices that we are making is dictating the road that we take, doesn't it? And do you know the road that we are on this morning does have a destination? There are people that say, well, I want to end up in Joplin. But I'll tell you, if you start going east on the interstate, you're not going to get to Joplin. You're not going to get there. You're going to end up in St. Louis. It's not enough to say, I want to go to heaven. Because do any of us here really want to miss heaven? I've heard people say, well, I don't care. But you know what? When they really get in places of life to give consideration, we all want to go to heaven. We don't want to end up in a place of eternal separation from all that is good and right. But it means we need to consider today the choices that we're making. What are we setting in our life? What are we fixing? Where's the road that you're on this morning going to end up? David said it this way in Psalms 16, verse 8. David said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I've set the Lord before me. What are you setting in front of you this morning? David said David said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. You know why he said that? Because what you set before your eyes is the direction you're going to end up going. You want to mow straight? You want to plow straight? You don't just look down. You look at a point at the end and keep your eye on that. You know what happens if you look behind you to see if you're going straight? You're going to start zigzagging. So I want to encourage you this morning, set the Lord before you. Set the Lord before you. Let him be the object of your focus. Let it be the Lord. Because, young people, all of the wealth and the prestige and recognition of this world will serve you nothing in eternity. It's not going to do anything. So we have some recognition in this life. So we have a few extra dollars in the bank. It means little when the storms of life come. And what matters is, have you set the Lord before you? Is he the guiding principle of your life? 1 Chronicles 22, 19th verse. He said, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Set your heart. Now we talk about the Lord being unchangeable and unmovable, but we have a part this morning. Because we are free moral agents, we have a choice as to what we're going to set our heart on. We have a choice as to where we're going to set our affections. We have a choice this morning as to what we're going to seek after and what we're going to pursue after in life. And so the scripture said, now set your heart and your soul to seek after the Lord. I want to challenge again in the Lord this morning, encourage each and every one of us to set your heart. By deliberate decision, set your heart after the things of God. Because what happens is, if we don't set our heart, it's going to be set on something that shouldn't be set. By tacit consent, if we don't make a decision to serve the Lord with all of our heart, the enemy's going to bring enough distractions. He's going to bring enough temptations. He's going to bring enough other things in our life to cause us to deviate from living like God wants us to live. A double-minded man is what? Unstable. It's because a double-minded man has not yet set his heart. Another scripture in Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on what? On things above. In other words, you have a responsibility to set your heart. Set your affections. You know, it doesn't, and I've shared this before, but I remember, and it stuck out to me. I went to meeting somewhere, and a young man came to meeting, and I remember hearing some people talk and say, yes, he has a girlfriend at Monarch, he has a girlfriend at the school he goes to, and he has a girlfriend at home. And I'm thinking, this young man needs to set his heart. He needs to make a decision, because if I was one of those girls, and I found out about it, I would have a message for that young man. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be one of your group. I'm not going to be one of your number, so you can put a little notch on your belt, and wherever you go, you've got a girlfriend handy. Would that work for anybody else here? I mean, I'm not trying to sound self-righteous or anything, but it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. And that's why the scripture teaches us, set your heart. Set your affections. In other words, you have the power of decision. God's not going to force us. But do you know the saints aren't going to force you either? Your family can't. We can't force you. But it's personal decision. I'm going to set my heart. And do you know where your treasure is, there you will find what? There your heart is also. So where is your treasure this morning? What is it that excites you? What is it that innate causes you to want to spend money? All the things of God. Isn't that exciting? We get to give. We get to go and sacrifice for someone else that doesn't have. What a wonderful blessing. That, you know, that isn't it more blessed to give than to receive? So where's our heart? We need to set our affection on things above with purpose. And you can see out in the world where people's heart is, because it's where they spend their time and their money, and it's where they make their choices. And I know we've all met people that say one thing and they're doing something else, and we know their heart's not there. You know, you can tell if someone's heart is in something usually. Not always, but usually. You know, if we come to service and we just take out the book and we're just kind of, we ought to sing high praises to the Lamb. And we're just kind of, I'll tell you, that's a pretty rough song to sing if your heart's not in it, isn't it? A song of praise? But when people's heart is in it, even if it's a little off tune, there's nothing better because their heart's in it. Is our heart in our service to the Lord? You see people following hard after the things of the world, and you can tell that's where their heart is. That's their love. That's their affection. How far are we willing to go to pursue God? How much are we willing to sacrifice? I think about in those of us that are married when we were young men, how far were you willing to drive to go see the one that you're married to now? You know, there are you are willing to spend money, you are willing to sacrifice because that's where your affections are. What are we doing with God? I don't have time. I have other things occupying my life. I have some other things I want to do first. Folks, we need to set our affection on the things of God. Because, and this is just basic, and I know y'all know it, but folks, we need to be honest with ourselves. There's going to come a time that all of the excuses are going to be washed away. They're all going to be washed away, and what's going to be left is the reality of our heart. Of our heart. So what is your reality this morning? I don't stand in the seat of judgment. That's God's place. But I can judge my own life and say, Lord, help me to be honest with myself. And you know, there have been times the Lord has let me know. It's like, be honest with yourself. It's like, yes, I'll just admit, yes, that was not a real spiritual motivation. So now, Lord, help me. Help me to set on something that's unmovable rather than just what I think or what I want to do in the Set your affection, set your heart, set your time. David said in Psalms 112:7, he said, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know what it comes down to this morning? When the storms come, whether it's in this life or the judgment, if you have fixed your heart in Jesus Christ, folks, you don't have to be afraid. The scripture also says perfect love casteth out fear, and fear hath torment. Because I'm living in a building that I know the builders didn't build on good ground. And I'm looking around my room thinking, when is it my turn? When are things going to crumble around me? Folks, I want to be on a secure ground. And it is a blessing this morning to be able in this life to have built on set our life on something unmovable, because then we won't move when the wind comes. I don't have to be afraid. Have we not all of us? And again, I know some of you are younger. You've gone through some hard times, but the longer you live, the more things you face in life. What has it been that's kept us? It's been Christ Jesus has been our anchor. But we have to be fixed to the anchor, right? Because the anchor can be there unmovable. I've got to be fixed to that. And that's what faith is all about. That's what trust is, that I'm going to fix my heart on the Lord and I don't have to be afraid. The song that says the anchor, I've been listening to it the last few days, the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I've fallen on my knees, and I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I thank God there is an anchor this morning. There is one that we can trust in, that He won't be moved. I want to place my trust in Him. I don't want to wait till my house is crumbled. I don't want to wait till it's too late. Do you know, people think I can make it. What about your children? You think you can make it not being set, not listening and being obedient to all of the Word of God. The question is, what are your children? You're putting your children in a house that's going to crumble for them. I don't want my children to live in a spiritual house that I laid a foundation on the sand. I want to give my children something that is secure and steady and true, that they can trust in it. Because maybe in old age, I'll turn and say, Lord, I need to get my house on the rock now. And I look back and all my children have built on the sand because that's where I used to be. You know, the Lord forgives and the Lord helps, but why wait? Those of us that still have children in the home, I entreat you, why wait until we have established our children on the sand? but we need to set. There's one other area we'd like to conclude with this morning. Isaiah 38:1, it says set. In other words, remember when it says set, this is your responsibility and my responsibility. He said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Folks, that's going to be the ultimate storm, is when we stand before the judgment seat of God. And the instruction was, set your house in order. Have any of you young people or children heard the call from mom and dad? Company's coming. Company's coming. They're going to be here in 5 minutes. Hurry up! Has anybody heard that? You know what they're trying to tell you? Go pick up the mess. Go straighten things up, because company's going to be here. There's no time to waste. Folks, that is the message we are living. Those that have been here studying in Revelation, we are in the last of the last days, and that is still the message that is being preached. Set your house in order, because the Lord's about here. He's about to come. Are we going to put it off? I want to challenge you this morning. If there are areas in your life that have been a little shaky, now is an opportunity to come and seek God and set your house in order. You know, the Lord, when He comes along, He's not looking at the pile of laundry sitting on the couch. The Lord is looking at the spiritual house. I've got some resentments. I've got some unforgiveness. I've got some hurts. And I've got some things in my life, some pleasures of the flesh that I've been following after that I know the Lord's not pleased with. Lord, the message then was, set your house in order. Fix it. Take care of it while you have opportunity, because the Lord is going to come and you're going to die and not live. So as we stand this morning and sing a song, I just felt the Lord gave me a special burden to give an invitation this morning. But if there's anyone that your life is not set this morning, or if there's a place that you're saved but you've been struggling with some things, it's a good time to come and say, Lord, I choose You. Because when we set, remember, it's not haphazard. It is a conscious decision. And when temptation comes, and when problem comes, I don't have to sit there and think, am I going to serve the Lord or am I going to backslide? Folks, my mind is made up this morning. I know what I'm going to do. I know I have weaknesses, and there have been plenty of times that I've stumbled and said, Lord, would You help me? But my heart was set and fixed, and it got me through. And when temptation comes, the temptations lose some of their power because my mind's made up. Lord, I'm going to serve You whatever it takes. Whatever the cost, Lord, my mind is made up because I've set my heart. And so, yes, I'm left with my humanity, but Lord, my heart is set, and it takes some of that power out of the temptation. Yes, it still will sway. It'll still beat on your house. But it is a blessing to have your faith fixed in something that is unchanging. This morning, it's a good time to do some setting and some fixing. So let's stand and sing a song. And if there's anybody that wants to ask the Lord, wants to make a decision, maybe there's things in your life that you've been struggling with, the Lord loves us. He doesn't want us to end up like those people in Nairobi where the house crumbled. But folks, it will. Unless we build on something that is unmovable, it's a good time to fix our heart and fix our affections. Amen.